You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Wednesday, July 22nd. I intended to leave about an hour ago because I've been here since 7, bright and early for me today. But I didn't because my work is so interesting and I kept fixing stuff. I have a full show for you today. Those of you who listen on the Pod-O-Matic feed didn't get a show yesterday because I ran out of space. They had me on a temporary unlimited plan, and that got reset when I paid my annual subscription. So I paid my annual subscription yesterday, and it reset me. So I had to have them fix it. They've given me free unlimited space on Pod-O-Matic because there's not an easy way to delete old episodes. It's very time consuming. So that's why I have unlimited space on there. And they gave me it back. So today, Lord willing, when I get home, I'll upload this episode on Pod-O-Matic and yesterday's episode. But those of you who listen on the Bible Thumping Wingnut feed got an episode yesterday because I have unlimited space on the Bible Thumping Wingnut network. Did you know that this show is on the Bible Thumping Wingnut and there's a bunch of other podcasts on the Bible Thumping Wingnut network? It is, and there are. So I like to maintain two feeds. One at the Bible Thumping Wingnut because it doesn't cost me much and I have unlimited space there. And the other at Pod-O-Matic because it's mine and it's on my website. You can go to ChristianCommute.com and click on stuff. Did you know that? Go get you a coffee mug. I love my Christian Commute coffee mug. And they're always a big hit with the people I give them to. I have several sitting in my office. I have a full show for you today. Today's show title is called COVID Church. COVID Church. I have a question in the inbox about the devil. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. But first, a little good news. I have liberated another copy of Jesus Calling. I don't know if it liberated it. I have obtained for quarantine another copy of Jesus Calling. I was walking around with somebody and she had one on her desk. I said, "Is that Jesus Calling? You know, I took one of those from the lady at the DMV and now I've got this copy." Removing Heresy. Seth Dunn and the Christian Commute removing heresy. One person at a time. One person at a time. And just a little something to say. Because two different situations. I knew this person. The other person I didn't know from Adam. But I will tell you this. If people know you're a Christian and you love Jesus, especially if they're a fellow Christian, they're going to listen to you about Christian things. They'll respect you if you live out your faith and you share your faith. And you'll have the kind of relationship with somebody. You can say, "Give me that book. It's heresy." And they will. All right. So always be looking for it. Ooh. Speed Trap is out today. Always be looking for opportunities. All right. Let's see here. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah. It's time for the Bible chapter review. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 16 through 17. 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. So, before you think about what this sin is, I want you to understand that the word leading is not there in the Greek. It's put there for us in the English. It's implied in the Greek. So, what were we talking about in verses 14 and 15? Woodstock City Church. Hold on. It's a Passat, and they have an Andy Stanley sticker. This poor guy. How can I reach you? I need to get some kind of sign that I put on the road that says, call me. You're at a heretic church. But I'm way up in northwest Georgia, and I'm seeing a sticker for Woodstock City Church, which is providentially closed due to COVID. Anyway, back to the Bible chapter review. Yesterday, we talked about asking things of God in His will, and we know that we've received them. We know He hears us, and we know He's granted our requests because we've asked it according to His will. That's what we talked about yesterday. So this is talking about a request that is made in the will of God. So what John does is he sets up what he says here by what he says previously. So he's talking about something general in that we can go to God with our requests and He hears us. And He already has them granted. But now he's talking about a specific request. All right? Now, what is that request? If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death. All right? So now we have this thing that we can wonder, this question, what is a sin leading to death and what is a sin not leading to death? He doesn't define it here. Is it apostasy? Is it talking about something that's a spiritual death, like your apostasy, or is he talking about something like murder? Because you've murdered someone, and now the state is going to put you to death. Which one is it? I don't think it's apostasy. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God for him... I'm sorry. He shall ask, and God will for him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So people are committing a sin and thus putting themselves in danger. And death could become of this, whether spiritual death or physical death, who knows? But think of it this way, in the greater context of John, there could be people who are tempted to listen to the Gnostics and shipwreck their faith, if you will. Or there could be people who are tempted to abandon the faith altogether because these false teachers are in there messing with their minds. But because you love your brother, you're going to ask God to grant life to your brother. When you see him engaging in that sin, not leading to death. And by the way, this could be very general. It could be talking about all sins. Like sometimes it leads to death and sometimes it doesn't. Like sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you pass the speed trap going 90 and you don't get a ticket. And sometimes you pass the speed trap going 90 and you do get a ticket. All right. I'm not really trying to nail down what the sin is so much as to talk to you theoretically about why we can ask to get life for our brother. We love our brother, so we're going to ask God to grant that person life. All right? So he's on the way. He's on a sinful path, and the sinful path leads to death. But we're going to ask God to grant that guy life, our brother who is sinning. Why are we interceding for that brother? Because we love him. Is it not the will of God that we love that brother enough to intercede for him? Yes. So we're asking according to the will of God. But here, John says next, there is a sin leading to death. And I do not say that he should make a request for this. So if that brother is sinning in a way where he's leading to death, he's not going to turn. You don't have to request that somebody who's not going to turn is going to turn. We're talking about sins not leading to death. Make a request for God and God will grant life to your brother. But the sin leading to death, you're under no obligation to make a request for that. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not God's will for that person to turn. It's God's will for that person to die in his sin. And John says, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. So all unrighteousness is sin, And there is a sin not leading to death. So some unrighteousness will lead you to death, and some unrighteousness won't. But all unrighteousness is sin. And those of us who love our brothers will see them acting in an unrighteous way, and out of love want to see them turned back towards righteousness and away from death. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review. And now we'll go to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? Well, you can send it to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Keep your question short if you can. Keep it relevant. Make it, you know, don't make it where something like, if you were Captain Picard in the episode of Star Trek, I, Borg, would you have sent Hugh back to the collective with the virus? Why or why not? Well, unless you've seen that episode and you're familiar with Star Trek, you wouldn't understand my answer. So that's what I mean. Don't ask questions where I have to explain to everybody what it is, at least at length. Something I can explain in short. All right? Another thing, yeah, you know, I'm always begging for questions, but when I have plenty, I'm giving you all these specifications. So not something I have to explain, not something that everybody really can't relate to. They don't know what you're talking about. Like this one time, this one thing happened to you, but it might not have ever happened to anybody else. I don't know if I'm putting that right. If you need help with something personally, please write in. Sorry, somebody was calling me. If you need something personally, how to deal with something in your life scripturally, please write in. Just don't make it too unique where other people can't relate. How about that? If it's something biblical, we should all be able to relate to it. And don't ask for my opinion on things. Like, what do you think about this? Make it something I can tamp down scripturally. Just some requests, especially keep it short, and tell me where you're from. Unless the inbox is empty and I'm on here begging for questions, then you can just send me any old thing, because I need to fill airtime. But today's question comes from Candace in Wisconsin, and it says, someone told me that I should pray silently so the devil doesn't hear me. Is this good advice? The answer is no. I've heard this before too. Let me go back way back in time to where I first heard something like this. It would have been, let's see, 1997, 1998, Sunday school at Tabernacle Baptist Church, the kids' class, and either the teacher or somebody said that if you have something that you don't like, don't say it out loud, or the devil will hear it, or put you through a trial. Like, don't say something like, I don't like homosexuality, or I think homosexuality is gross, or the devil will make your child gay. So don't tell the devil what bothers you, or he'll put it in your life. And I think this is the same kind of thing here. If you're praying out loud, and you're saying, you know, God, I need XYZ, or God, I'm struggling with XYZ, if the devil hears you, he'll tempt you all the more. So, I don't know, let's say you have a problem with pornography. And you say, oh, Lord, please help me. I'm struggling with looking at pornography. Please break this sinful habit. Give me the strength to break this sinful habit. And then, but if you said it out loud, so now the devil is going to send, I don't know, a Playboy salesman to your house? Do people sell magazines anymore? Or the devil's going to send you an email with a Playboy link. You know, something's going to pop up on your computer the devil's going to put you in a bad situation and tempt you because he knows you struggle with that. You know, there's only one devil. Yes, there's innumerable demons, but there's only one devil. How he can't listen to everybody, can he? But this is silly. Let's think about prayer and the sovereignty of God. Let's think about what we talked about yesterday. If you're praying in the will of God, if you're making a request in the will of God, and God hears you and he says it's granted to you, what's the devil going to do to stop God from answering your prayer? If God in his sovereign will is going to answer your prayer because you prayed in accordance with his will, the devil has no power to stop him. And if it's something you're already struggling with, who cares if the devil hears you? So think about the devil. Let's see here. If you're playing, I'll give you an example. There's a guy, there's a couple of my Sunday school class, and their son was in a car wreck, a real bad car wreck. And they're praying that he gets a spot at the Shepherd Center in Atlanta. So the Shepherd Center in Atlanta is this very respected rehabilitation clinic where people go if they're almost paralyzed and they rehab so you get out of a wheelchair and walk again. That's what the Shepherd Center is. And his insurance has agreed to pay for it, but there's no beds open right now. So they've asked for prayer that that guy gets his spot at the Shepherd Center so he can go through rehab. Am I going to not say that out loud? Because if I say that out loud, the devil could go to the Shepherd Center and make it where they don't have a bed? What do you believe about the devil and what do you believe about God? It's not like when you're playing baseball and you're the catcher and you're signaling to the pitcher curveball or fastball. And you don't want the batter to see you. And maybe there's a guy on second base, so you're switching up your signs so he doesn't steal them and tip off the batter to whether you're going to throw a fastball or a curveball. Where, see, the pitcher and the batter on an equal playing field? Think of it this way. If the devil's the batter and God's the pitcher, God can pretty much announce, hey, devil, I'm going to throw old number one, the fastball, and I'm going to throw it right by you, right down the middle, and you can't hit it, because I don't want you to. God can announce his pitch. It's not a good idea for you to announce his pitch. If God and the devil were equals, yeah, you'd want to strategically not let the devil know your game plan. Like, don't let the enemy know your battle plan. People are like, well, we're in spiritual warfare. You don't want to let the enemy know your battle plan and your strategy. So you will keep your prayer strategy between you and God. God is like the Enola Gay flying over Iwo Jima. And he's about to nuke them and there's nothing they can do about it. Right? So I'm sorry. All these God analogies are ultimately bad. They're horrible. Don't analogize God to a plane. But you see, the devil can't do anything about God's will to answer your prayer. You don't need to worry about the devil hears. So you can pray out loud, you can pray silently, whatever. If you want to pray silently, go ahead and do it, but don't do it because you're afraid the devil's going to hear you. So I pray every night, and I pray this silently. I pray every night, so the devil, you can hear me now if you want to, if you're listening. I pray every night for the salvation of my children. But if I say it out loud, is the devil going to tempt him and try to keep him away from church? Now, that's just silly. If God's going to save him, he's going to save him. So, I mean, good grief. That's people giving a little too much credit to the devil there. But make no mistake, the devil's no pushover. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's over the kingdom of darkness. The devil is super influential and super powerful. And he doesn't do one thing outside of the decretive will of Almighty God. So, yeah, you can let him know. I was playing softball one time, back when I was young and fast. And there was a guy on second base. And what I was going to do is hit a chopper to the shortstop. So I had a cheap bat that didn't have too much pop. And what I'd do is I just hit a soft ground ball to the shortstop. You're not allowed to bunt in softball, slow pitch softball. And beat it out because it was a 65-foot base and I could fly. I was fast back in those days. And I had a little signal with my teammates. And it meant I would rub my hat, which means if you're on second base, I'm going to slap it to the shortstop. Don't run at the crack of the bat because he might throw you out at third. Wait until he throws it, then run. And I was playing with a guy who hadn't played with us for that long. It was Jim Guerin. And he was on second base. And I rubbed my hat. And he looks at me, he's like, what? And I said, I rubbed my hat. And he's like, what? What does that mean? Maybe it was Bird Dog. Maybe it was Michael. I can't remember which guy it was. I'm getting too old. So I just stepped out of the batter's box. And I said, I'm going to hit a ground ball to the shortstop. He can't throw me out. So wait till he tries to throw it before you run. And then the guy threw me the pitch. And I hit a ground ball to the shortstop and ran it out. Like, what are you going to do about it? You can't throw me out. So I didn't think he had any power to stop me. All right. So think about God. No one has any power to stop him, including the devil. So you pray to God because you have faith in God, not fear of the devil. I'm going to repeat that. Pray to God because you have faith in God, not fear of the devil. And with that, we will end the question segment and get on today's show topic. Get on to today's show topic. COVID church. So, I attend Cartersville First Baptist Church. I've gone there, I don't know, I've lost track, year or two. And when all this COVID shutdown stuff happened in April, they closed church. And there were no worship services. There was online preaching and guitar playing and singing. Really scaled down, and gradually it scaled back up, and now church is meeting again. Actually, church is meeting. And my daughter said to me the other day while we were watching it, she said, Daddy, I want to go to church. And nothing, you know, lit my heart up more than my daughter wanting to go to church. So I said, fine, I'll make reservations, because you have to make reservations now, because they want to know how many people are coming, because, you know, they've set the rows back. The chairs, they've set them back. So they used to be really close together. Now they're further apart. So we made a reservation and went to church. And I was so glad to be back at church. I mean, I missed it. And I was just so glad to be there. Because I belong at church. I'm a Christian and I belong at church on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. Where do you belong on Sunday if you're a Christian? Well, you belong in church with the Lord's people. You belong with the Lord's people on the Lord's day in the Lord's house. That's where you belong. So I was back where I belonged. And I think I enjoyed it a little more extra than usual. So you guys know I don't like to shake the people's hands going in the door. But I always do, because the dude who shakes hands, you can tell he loves it. That's his thing. There's nothing, nowhere he'd rather be than shaking people's hands at church. And it's not just that guy. It's every handshaker guy at every Baptist church in America. Like, I am the handshaker guy. I'm the hospitality dude. I shake hands and greet people. And they love it. That's their personality. I don't want to touch the person that everybody else has touched, standing at the door for the sole purpose of greeting me. I just don't like it. But you can't do it, because there's no handshaking. So I walked into church unmolested. And no coffee, no donuts. I like the coffee and donuts, but we didn't have any. And then I sat in the church service, and it wasn't crowded. Nobody is right on top of you. Now, this is an autism thing, not a theology thing. There's not a bunch of people right on top of you. The room is not empty, but not full. Usually, I mean, especially in 11 o'clock services, sometimes it's hard to find a seat. They're trying to build a building, because there's really not a lot of places to put people. Church has been growing. But today, that Sunday, it wasn't as full. And I think maybe there's two people wearing masks in the whole place. The people aren't really scared about germs, but we're taking precautions, and that's wise. And we sang three songs. There was no offering passed around because they're not passing stuff anymore. It was go put it in the box. And I like that too. If you're going to get an offering, you should purpose in your heart to give an offering. I can't remember the last time I put something in a plate, because when I give, I just online. Like, why would I write a check or carry cash if I had it and put it in a plate? But, you know, I don't like touching stuff, and you got to sit there while you pass it out, and they got to do, you know, that. I think the sole reason that special music exists in church is to fill the time when the offering plate is being passed out. Now, one thing I did miss was communion. They didn't do that, but, you know, we're on the quarterly schedule like the rest of the Baptists in the world, except for the Reformed Baptists who have it every week. But I don't know how they do communion. That's a lot of touching. But what the point I want to make is not that it's bad if it's not COVID. The point I want to make, it was people were there because that's where they wanted to be. And they didn't have anything, they didn't have to do anything to entice people to come there. It's whoever's going to be there at COVID church is just there because that's where they belong and they know it. So think of something small like the greeter. Why do churches have greeters at the door? I mean, did they have it 100 years ago? I don't know. But the purpose of the greeter at the door is to make people feel welcome. How do I put this? If people are new in town and they go to a church and there's not a greeter at the door, they might go back home and say, well, that's a really unfriendly church. Nobody greeted me at the door. I'll never go back. And it could be the friendliest church in the world, but if there's not an official greeter, people won't come back. So that's why the handshaking guy is there. Because that's the reality. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the reality, and that's why the handshake guy is there. And things like coffee and donuts. There's nothing wrong with having coffee and donuts in church. I like going to church when there's coffee and donuts. Now, usually the donuts are gone by the time I get to them. And sometimes the good creamer is gone by the time I get to it. So these are my first world problems at church. I mean, you got people in China, the government's toppling their steeples. Sometimes I miss out on the good creamer. And there's a church in Florida, Amelia Baptist Church. I've been there a couple times when I go to vacation on Amelia Island. They have apple juice. They got a little, it's kind of like a concession booth. But it's free. And they had coffee and apple juice. And because it's a family integrated church, I think the apple juice is actually for the kids. And they little snacks. And that's, I like that. I like having a little snack. That's nice. But the thing is, some churches are like, we got to have a great coffee bar. And if we don't have a great coffee bar, the church will go to somewhere else. We got to have coffee. You don't want to walk. Nobody greeted me and there was no coffee. Well, nobody greeted me, and nobody greeted anybody else. I mean, people said hi to me, because they're like, hey, Seth, glad to see you're back. But, I mean, nobody officially greeted me. Now, granted, there were still the people standing there at the door. The greeters were still standing at the door. They were just socially distanced, and they weren't touching me. I guess they were just smiling at me. That's fine to be smiled at. But there it wasn't, well, we got to greet the people, and we got to have coffee, and it wasn't, we got to have a killer set. You know, there was no, we got to have the killer stage set up with the killer music performance. Now, First Baptist isn't like that. It's not Andy Stanley's church trying to have a light show. I mean, they have a nice setup on the quote-unquote stage. I mean, they have some lights, but it's not like flashing like a light show. But I just feel like it was a very simple church service. You walked in. Nobody's trying to satisfy you with handshaking or coffee. And the preacher was just kind of walking around talking to everybody. That was nice. You know, he was just walking through the crowd saying good morning to people. And then he got up there and he said, all right, we're going to have church. And we sang three songs. And then the preacher preached. It was actually not the quote-unquote senior pastor. It was one of the associate pastors. I always think that's cool. This doesn't have anything to do with COVID, when the quote-unquote senior pastor is there and one of the other guys is preaching in the series. Because, hey, they can all preach. I thought that was... I don't know why the guy didn't preach. I think he was back from vacation, so he probably didn't have time to prepare a sermon. But, you know, there's some senior pastors out there that won't have the associate preach while they're in the building. You know, while they're on vacation, they got to call in Paige Patterson or some big shot like that. But, again, that has nothing to do with COVID. That probably has everything to do with his vacation. But the point I'm trying to get to about COVID Church is it wasn't about bells and whistles. It was about we're here because it's important to be here. And I believe everybody who was there because it's God's house and they're God's person. They're not some seeker. They're not some shopper. And on any given Sunday, you're gonna have the shoppers, the church shoppers, and the people who want the coffee and the greeting and the great music set, the consumers. And during COVID time, I just don't think those people are going to go to church because they'd rather not risk getting sick. They'll sit and listen to it at home. Andy Stanley's church is shut down. J.D. Greer's church is shut down for the rest of the year. The SBC president shut down his church for the rest of the year. Not even meeting. And I'm going to tell you this. Like I said, it wasn't as crowded as it usually was. Revenues were probably down because there's less people. I get it. But you know what? It was open anyway, and the church was being the church, and I thought that was just great. And I so enjoyed that everything about that service was church for the sake of being church. And the churches that are not open right now, by and large, are the churches that are church for the sake of other things. The Andy Stanleys of the world, and to a far lesser degree, the J.D. Greers of the world. I mean, you know, I think very lowly of J.D. Greer. I declared him the worst Christian of 2019, but he's still... It's hard to be as bad as Andy Stanley. It's real hard. You could be this Volvo up here driving too slow. You're as bad as Andy Stanley Volvo, driving slow for no reason. It's like you have to go. It's one of the things you have to make an effort to go this slow on the side road. And I understand that a lot of the people who were normally there weren't there because maybe they did have health concerns. I feel bad for them, and I'm not trying to say I'm glad they weren't there. Don't get me wrong. Let me put it this way. I'm glad who was there was there. You know, my Sunday school teacher walked in. I hadn't seen him in forever because we're not having Sunday school. We have Zoom Sunday school. But, you know, it's a little earlier than I want to wake up, quite frankly. And sometimes, like, I can go to Sunday school if I got someplace to stick my kids. But if I'm at home having Zoom Sunday school, it's like I'm getting crawled all over. It ain't going to happen. And he just walked by and tapped me on the shoulder with his Bible. Just a little tap on the shoulder. Man, I was glad to see my Sunday school teacher. Even if it was just a tap, it was great to be back together. And I hope that a lot of you have had the opportunity, if you ever, you know, if you had to miss, to be back together with your church family in the Lord's house. And it looks different, probably. Maybe you've been meeting in the parking lot or under a tent. It looks different. But probably, I'm going to say this Sunday, on average, in you know the history of the last 20 years, is probably you've probably seen some of the most authentic or biblical or simple or whatever word you want to use. I'm not a big buzzword guy. I don't want to say somebody's worship isn't authentic. But some of the most authentic church services ever. And the places that are authentic church services in the last maybe 20 years. And the places that are Church in a Box, McChurch, Andy Stanley or J.D. Greer and his 9 campuses or whatever he's up to now. Oh, they're closed. Good riddance. And I hope you never open back up. But for the places that are open, I got to say I was glad to be there. So I hope you're enjoying COVID Church as much as I did. Oh, and one more thing. Correction from yesterday. I said D.A. Horton was the founder of the Gospel Coalition. It's D.A. Carson. I was listening to that in the car. I said, it's not Horton, it's Carson. My point is the same. I just misspoke or misremembered the name. But yeah, that's D.A. Carson is who I was talking about. The Gospel Coalition. which I don't care for. So thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.